Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoSillaCast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. Today is Saturday, November 19th, 2011, and this is show number 339. This is a very special episode. This is the compilation of the five Blog World Expo interviews that we did. You're going to hear from Automattic, WordPress.com, Telestream, Spreecast, Bleco, and ThingLink. Now, this audio was actually pulled from the videos that Steve made of the interviews that we did during Blog World. So if you'd rather watch the videos themselves, you can go over to podfeet.com and find episode number 339, and you can see each one of the videos separately. Or you can stay tuned and listen to those audio interviews. I'm sitting in the WordPress happiness bar with WordPress happiness engineer Evan Solomon right now. How are you doing today, Evan?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. So I know a fair amount about WordPress and WordPress.com, but why don't you help give my audience a little better idea of what the difference is?
Sure. So WordPress itself is open source, free software that anyone can download, use, modify, do whatever you want with. So I work for a company called Automattic, and we run a service called WordPress.com, which is basically a hosted version for that. So if you want to have a WordPress site, but you don't want to deal with getting a web server or a host or configuring databases or any of that, you can come to us, sign up for an account, and we'll do it for you.
Or doing the updates yourself, or even understanding what a domain is versus all that other stuff. You get to just pick it and go.
Exactly. And in fact, we're usually running a more up-to-date version of WordPress core on WordPress.com than you would go download on the site. We run what's called Trunk usually, which is kind of the development bleeding-edge version.
So now I've heard of other companies doing that where it's sort of like, hey, look, I'm beta testing on all these people who are right there. I can try it out on a large audience, and then you know it's good, right?
Exactly. That's one of WordPress.com's biggest functions is sort of beta testing the future of WordPress. So we build new features, and we roll it out to our site first where we can sort of control it. But we have so many users that it's a really good ground to figure out if it works.
Now, the one limitation of doing WordPress.com is the number of themes. But last time I looked, there were just a trunk load of themes.
Yeah, we're launching a ton. We're doing about one or two a week, maybe. And then there's also great functionality called child themes, which you may or may not know about. Child themes are basically ways to build new themes as children of other themes using CSS. And you can do some really cool customizations. A lot of the new themes that are being built for WordPress are really well designed to build child themes of. In such a way that you wouldn't even recognize that it's the original theme.
Oh, that sounds really cool. Now, you mentioned you work for Automattic. Now, what does Automattic make other than WordPress.com?
So we make a few other products, all kind of built around WordPress and publishing. The one that's probably known best is Akismet, which is a spam prevention.
I love Akismet. I haven't checked it lately, but I want to say a couple million or 20 million spams have been caught by Akismet. You get this plugin, you plug it in, and then you forget about spam almost entirely.
That's basically the point. Yeah, Akismet has blocked overall over 25 billion spams on the web.
Gosh. Now, lately it's been letting some Russian stuff through, but what I notice is it's sort of like it learns. Mm-hmm. Like I'll get four or five Russian ones in a row, and then all of a sudden those are gone.
Exactly. Yeah, so marking stuff as spam is a good way to help us fix that. But yeah, it does learn over time. And that's kind of the whole point. It's spammers change, and then we change to block them.
Why do you let us have that for free?
So we give it for free to kind of personal users, but corporations or something like that uses Akismet, we actually charge for.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot, being a personal user myself. So what else is Automattic working on?
So we have a plugin called VaultPress that does real-time backups and security for WordPress, self-hosted WordPress users. We have a couple other plugins and tools built around publishing, and WordPress is obviously our sort of flagship.
So what's coming up new in the WordPress core, the open source WordPress?
All right, so WordPress 3.3 is in beta, I think, or maybe release candidate right now. A couple of cool features, the admin menu on the left when you're in your WP admin is going to change from being like a fold-out collapsible menu to actually being flyout. So you mouse over and you'll get a little flyout menu. So it's actually really fast to navigate around. You don't end up with like 100 items open.
You know, that sounds small, but I love it when there's a flyout. And it's just one fewer click. Means, you know, carpal tunnel syndrome is delayed just a little bit longer. Every one of those little clicks, it actually does matter.
Yeah, and especially if you have, like, a lot of plugins that create their own menus, you can end up scrolling for a couple thousand pixels to get to the bottom. So this puts it's all viewable in one screen. We're working on the uploader. That's one of the big features. So you'll be able to do, like, drag and drop HTML5 uploading for media and images, things like that. That's pretty cool. And then we have a new system that we're calling Pointers, which sort of lets you... It's like a new UI for kind of calling out and explaining stuff in the UI. So it's very new. We're not using it too much yet, but it's going to be rolled into some future stuff and available to plug in. So that's pretty cool.
Wow, that all sounds fantastic. I got to say, you know, I'm a big fan of open source, but a lot of times it's kind of dodgy, crappy looking, you know, kind of like it looks third world country kind of drawings and stuff. But WordPress is so professional, so smooth. I mean, it looks like something I paid for. I can't say enough good stuff about WordPress.
Thank you. That's what we like to hear. We make it for ourselves largely, which is different than a lot of open source projects. I think Firefox is another good example of an open source project that's gone pretty well. Where I think the developers made it largely for themselves. So I think, you know, since most of us use it every single day, hopefully we try to keep it looking as good and as polished as we can.
I think the products that scratch your own itch are the ones that really do tend to make great. So I thank you very much, and I see why you're a happiness engineer. I'm sure nobody comes in and goes, you know, WordPress, that stuff's horrible. Everybody's happy here.
Most people seem to like it. Happiness engineer is actually what we call our customer support team. They're called our happiness engineers, and then when we go to conferences like this, we're all sort of happiness engineers for a day.
All right. Thank you very much, Evan.
Thanks.
We're at Blog World Expo, and for the first interview, I've run into some old friends that I have actually met before. I've got Lynn Elliott and Christine Porter of Telestream. How are you doing today, guys?
Great. Thanks.
Very well.
All right, so I'm a huge Telestream fan. I use a lot of your products and love every bit of it. ScreenFlow is the application used for screencasting mm-hmm. on the Mac, and I adore that. And now I'm using Wirecast Studio for my live show on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. GMT-8. Yes. anyway, tell us what's going on. What's new with ScreenFlow or Flip for Mac or Wirecast? What's going on?
Well, we just recently released ScreenFlow 3, which has a ton of new features and improvements. We released that in August, and a lot of people have upgraded. We've gotten a lot of really nice feedback from that. It's Lion compatible. It has some new, nice features such as annotations.
I think you did some stuff with the waveform too, didn't you? Weren't there some waveform improvements?
Audio improvements, the waveform improvements, so you can see the waveforms and change dynamically as you're editing a screencast. So it makes it much easier to get right in and edit out little bits, little ums and ahs or pauses that you don't want in your screencast.
I personally don't make any mistakes, so that wouldn't be a feature I'd need, of course, but yeah.
That's good.
So, and ScreenFlow is only $100, is that right?
It's $99, and it's also on the App Store for $99.99.
Oh, great, great. So you can use it on more than one Mac if you're moving around the house. Oh, that's fantastic. That's really been a boon, I think, to applications that can get in the Mac App Store. That really makes a big difference to the customer base.
Yeah, it's been great for us. It's opened up the app for a whole new generation of app users, really. People that might not have seen us find us on the App Store, which is great for us.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'm really impressed with Telestream, and maybe this will just be a gushing episode where I tell you, I love you guys, but the service that I get, I usually talk to Janet Swift, and I mean, I get instant gratification. I mean, day or night, anytime, you know, weekends, whatever, she writes back when I've got a problem, a question, something I'm trying to work on. It's instant. I mean, I get really great feedback and help from you guys.
Well, and that's great because Janet is our marketing manager, and
she's not even in support.
PR, right. She's head of PR, and so she knows you well because you do a great job of promoting Telestream, and so we want to help you out whatever we can. But our support
She would help me anyway, though, not just because I support you.
Absolutely, yeah. No, but our support team is really, we get a lot of praise about our support department as well because they are right on it. And, you know, we have application specialists for each one of our products. We've got about 8 different products. And the desktop side, ScreenFlow is a big one. Wirecast mm-hmm. is another big one. And so we have people that are dedicated to those products and really know it inside and out. And our commitment is to try and get back to you within 24 hours and hopefully have your problem solved by then.
And by phone or email, and people are always surprised that people actually get back in touch with them. It's not just a generic email message.
Telephone?
Telephone. Yes.
Yeah. I remember those.
US-based responses, too.
Wow, that's crazy. So how about tell them a little bit about Wirecast. I did do a review of Wirecast Studio when I got it, but give a little... The elevators.
Well, Wirecast, of course, is our live streaming application, and it's just growing by leaps and bounds. Everybody's getting into live video, and Wirecast makes it really easy. You can do it from your laptop or your desktop or whatever you need to do, and add some really wonderful production value to your broadcasts and make it interesting for your audience. and it's very affordable considering the old methods that we had, and now that we can just download software and do it right there and stream, it's really easy.
I think you make a really good point there. Compared to some of the other products, it sounds expensive. How Wirecast Studio is...
starts at $449, right, and then so we have a pro product at $995, but then again, yeah, maybe that sounds expensive, but then look at the alternatives.
Right. And I mean, in the old days, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars
exactly.
to produce what we can produce mm-hmm. in our own home now. Mm-hmm. So the kind of features that I really like is being able to do the layers, putting on lower thirds, flipping between different views,
right.
Having an IP camera, which I do a really weird thing. I broadcast the live chat room from another laptop in the room. So that's one of my IP sources, and that comes in. And that just seemed like the easiest way to do it. Plus,
right.
it was fun to get to use a new part of the tool.
Yep. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that you're using it.
I'm sorry. Wirecast is so flexible. I mean, we have people that have 10, 20, 30 layers, you know, that are editing all these layers at the same time. And then we have people that have it really simple. And whatever your workflow is, Wirecast is easy to adapt and easy to create your layers so that you can do that. So
you can do the HD quality that I can get out of it now, and I can export it to my disk. I can put it on Justin TV. I can put it on more than one source at a time, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it,
like you say, all the flexibility.
Yeah.
By the way, you should thank a guy named Mark Dalton from the Tech Lounge. I refer to him often as my pusher because he just keeps telling me to buy the next biggest thing from you guys. And now, I mean, I'm going to be doing green screen soon. I mean, it's gonna go crazy. But he's the guy that really pushed me into using the higher level capabilities and actually taught me to use it. So
Oh, great.
We should definitely give Mark a thanks. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time, Lynn and Christine. This
Very
was
nice
really
to
fun
you.
To meet you.
Thanks
for
nice
stopping
seeing
by.
You. Thanks for stopping by.
I'm here at the Spreecast booth with Colin Evans. Tell us about Spreecast.
Hi. Spreecast is a social video platform that lets people broadcast together. You can have up to four people on camera interacting, talking. You can swap out different people at different times throughout the Spreecast, and you can broadcast to an infinite number of viewers. The really interesting thing about Spreecast is the viewers can actually interact with the broadcast itself. So they can chat in real time, they can submit questions that the moderator can approve and pull on screen, or they can actually request to join on camera and come on camera with the people who are hosting the show and ask questions and interact. So you get a truly interactive broadcast experience.
And how many people can be on screen at the same time?
You can have four people on screen at the same time, but you can cycle through many more than that over the course of a Spreecast.
You can be the host and have different people coming in
exactly.
and out.
I could be a host, or I could have a co-host, and we could interview 20 people over the course of the Spreecast, pull people in, let them do their thing, take them out, and then pull somebody else in.
So what's the quality of the video?
The video, we just upgraded to H.264, which is the most recent upgrade in terms of the quality of video. So it's about as high quality as you can get. Latest
and,
version.
Is it HD when the video is produced?
If it's HD when the video is produced, it's not necessarily HD when it comes back to the viewing pane because it goes to our servers and then comes back. It's an entirely browser-based solution.
So it's not in Flash, it's H.264? Or no, it is Flash.
It is Flash. It is Flash playing.
Okay. So is that actually recorded then?
Everything is recorded and archived and available for playback later. If I were to create a channel, anything that I create as far as Spreecast go will reside within that channel. Anybody can have a channel, and people can have multiple channels if they want to.
So then I could embed the video that was created in a live show, for example, and embed that on my website?
You will be able to. Embed technology is not out yet, but it will be over the next couple weeks.
How about HTML5?
Can't really comment on that yet.
Okay, that's a direction you got to go because everybody's got to be on the iPhones, iPads. Everybody,
Native apps right now for both the iPhone and the iPad, which will give you the ability to broadcast remotely from a mobile device. So,
cool.
If you look at that fourth square on the screen there, we could actually in a few weeks be broadcasting from here and have that video feed be playing in the last piece. So you can imagine the applications for news and for information. You know, you can be walking down the street in San Francisco where we are based and see something and broadcast it back and have people all around the world commenting on what they're seeing in a live video feed through this platform.
That sounds really interesting. And how much does it cost to use it?
There is no cost.
All right. I'm liking Spreecast. So that is spelled Spreecast, and I assume it's Spreecast.com?
Yep. It is.
Thank you very much for the time.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm standing here in the Bleko booth with Sherilyn Watson. And let's see, before we go too far, Bleko is B-L-E-K-K-O. And tell us what it does, Sherilyn.
So we're a new search engine. We launched about a year ago. And our goal is to help people search without spam or content farms.
Oh, nice.
And we have a tool that's called a slash tag. which is a way that you can contextually narrow your search by category. I can show you an example if you
like. Okay, yeah, that'd be great. This will be audio too, so talk through what you're doing.
Okay, so if you'd want to do a search on a topic like global warming, there's lots of different facets. You can search on politics or economics. But say you only want to see science websites.
Yeah, there you go.
You would use the slash tag, it's forward slash, then it's the keyword, this case is science. Search on that. And this tells the search engine to only search on science websites as opposed to searching the entire web. So that you don't get politics or those types of results.
So how does it know what ones are considered science websites?
So all of that is manually curated.
Oh, wow, that's a lot of labor.
Yeah, the slash tag is created by us, and then we enlist help from people in the community who are experts in the field to come in and help us curate each slash tag.
Oh, okay, so people can apply to help you?
Yeah, you can apply and tell us why you think you're qualified, and then we'll accept some people, but some people just are trying to apply for fun and we don't take them.
Okay. So how many slash tags are out there?
So we have hundreds of slash tags. I can show you the directory.
Sure.
So if you go here, click on directory.
Oh, wow.
We have hundreds of slash tags, but we're working on building out more in-depth slash tags in specific topics and in organizing this in a more logical way so you can see all the, history.
Maybe in clumps together,
yes.
That kind of thing.
All the science ones together, all the sports together.
This is really interesting. Now, what if I wanted my own slash tag?
You can create your own. It's easy to do. Go back to the search. You just create your own account, and then you click here. It says create a slash tag. And say you want to make a slash tag about, bats. Or any other topic. And then you can also search for information to add to it. Or you can add your own down here. If you have specific sites you want to add.
So she's adding all of the better bat websites at the bottom there, right?
Yeah. So you can put up to like 5,000 or more slash tags there. Sites in the slash tag.
Wow, that's kind of interesting. Now, what if you wanted to be able to check on stuff frequently? The same thing for updates, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you can do that just in the search. So I'll go back to my example, global warming. But this time, say you want to see every time it's mentioned on a blog, the most recent ones. So I put slash blogs, slash date to make it order by most recent ones, and then slash RSS. And this brings up a chance for you to subscribe to the feed in your reader.
Oh, that's cool. And so then you could keep that search. So you could always get the up-to-date information on global warming. Now, in this case, we didn't do a slash science, but you could have added that as well.
Yeah.
So you can put multiple ones filtering the data.
Yeah, it would be an intersection. So it would be, if I did slash science slash blogs, it would be science blogs.
So if I did this, would I keep from getting all those about.com answers?
Yes.
I really want that as a constant filter. I never want to see that.
Yeah, we actually try to remove those in the very beginning before we don't even index them.
Excellent.
But then the slash tags help you narrow even more without them.
Well, this is really interesting, Sherilyn. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I'm in the ThingLink booth with Neil and Ollie, and I just like the name, and I came over and asked these guys, so what is ThingLink?
Well, ThingLink lets you make your images interactive. So if you're a blogger, now your images can be much more than just JPEGs. You can put in video, audio, Wikipedia entries, links to your social touch points like Twitter and Facebook, all inside the image. So the image becomes a platform for content, makes it much more interesting and engaging for people.
That sounds kind of fun. So how do I do it? Do I have to know like CSS and all that kind of nonsense to get it to work on my blog?
No, it's just a small snippet of code you put in the description bar or a plugin you download.
Okay, so if I use WordPress, it's just a plugin then?
It's a plugin on WordPress. It depends a bit which plugin platform you use, but on WordPress, it's a plugin, yes.
Okay, well, I only care about WordPress, but it's all about me. So maybe you could show us, Ollie, a little bit. Steve will pan the video down here and show us what it looks like.
Yeah. So basically, we allow you to put these dots on top of your images or tags, and they can link to anywhere. In this case, it's links to where you can buy this item from. But it's much more than that. It can also contain music. So this is a SoundCloud track, so you can listen to what the instrument sounds like. And here's another tag, you can buy it. Then you can also put video inside. It looks like this. So you can link to YouTube videos and it start playing inside the image. You don't have to go anywhere. You can have Facebook like buttons inside, Facebook follow Facebook follow buttons, videos, yeah.
And the sharing, too. It's really cool because you can share each image with one click to Twitter, Facebook, and email, and you can also embed each image, so it's very viral.
It looks like you should probably use these things in moderation, though. Like, if I went to a site that had as much as you got popping up, that'd probably drive me out of my mind, but...
Well, you know, it's funny. We're in an environment where people are accustomed to multimedia happening at the same time. The great thing with ThingLink is you hover your mouse over the image and you have choice. You don't have to hit them all. You basically engage with the tags that you enjoy, the content that you're interested in.
And I noticed that before I hover over it, there's nothing. It looks like a regular image. So it's not like it's dancing on screen and annoying me unless I ask it to give me more information. Well, that looks pretty cool. How much does ThingLink cost?
ThingLink is free right now. And it's always going to be free for people. We are going to introduce paid versions next year so that we can help pay the cost of the platform. But right now, we believe everyone should be able to engage with interactive images, and that's our position, and we're going to make those tools available to everybody.
So if you've already got it, it's not going to start costing you money, is it?
No. It'll always be free if you've got it. You can always opt up for more features, more tools, and more ways to use it.
All right. Thank you very much. That was really interesting. Well, I hope you enjoyed this special episode from Blog World, and many thanks to Steve Sheridan for doing all of the videography and audio recording of these episodes, and for making sure that I picked the exact perfect jingle to put between each one of the interviews. Anyway, as always, don't forget to send in your dumb questions, comments, and suggestions by emailing me at allison@podfeet.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/podfeet. And of course, check me out on Google+, because that's where I am most of the time. And always remember, if you want to join in the fun of the live show, head on over to podfeet.com/live on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific time and join the friendly and enthusiastic Nocilla Castaways. Thanks for listening and stay subscribed.